Environment Matters, sponsored by Wuka Period Pants, the reusable menstrual underwear that completely replaces disposables. Find out more at wuka.co.uk and join the revolution.
Welcome to Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around St Albans and from further afield. Coming up later, reclaiming the roads for kids to play. But first, now St Albans Green Party held a recent public meeting to discuss climate change and what we should do about it. One of the speakers was George Barder from the national group Extinction Rebellion. It was packed. Not everyone could get in. So what is Extinction Rebellion? I spoke to Paul Thistlethwaite to find out. Paul, thank you for joining me. So what is Extinction Rebellion?
So Extinction Rebellion is a relatively new organisation which is all involved with dealing with climate change at the highest level, and they are a non-violent direct action group involved in civil disobedience. So trying to raise the ultimate awareness of the need to act rapidly on climate change.
So where did this all start then?
So very recently, a group called Rising Up have been around for a little while, and they've kind of initiated Extinction Rebellion, which is focusing on the climate crisis. And they ran their first launch event in October last year. So it's very, very new.
That is really quite new, isn't it? I mean, there are lots of groups who are taking action on climate change, but it sounds like this is a bit different. The way that you you want people to join in is different, isn't it?
Well, it's because I think we got to the point where what's happened before hasn't worked. I mean, clearly it hasn't worked because we're still on the same trajectory that we've always been on. Nothing's really changed dramatically. And I think one of the way I would describe the main difference, which what excites me most of all, is that rather than focusing on individual action, they're focusing on getting critical mass from everybody, political and social will, to actually make those systemic and cultural changes so that it's easy for everybody to live, you know, a sustainable lifestyle.
Right. Okay. And so, I mean, it sounds like quite a feisty organisation. What kind of protests are you doing?
Well, the thing about being feisty, I think that's quite an interesting word, is that you have to get something which, if it's a movement, it's got to be public, and it's about doing something that people notice. And the idea is that if you do something that people do notice, then the next group of people who are interested will come along and get involved. And that's how you build that critical mass, that movement. So the public nature of it is really important. And for that, you've got to get something that's newsworthy. And it's difficult to get into the news and let everybody know about a march because they're to a penny. There's marches everywhere. So you've got to come up with something creative. It doesn't have to be in the face of everybody, but it has to be newsworthy. So we've got to get creative about doing things which are non-violent and actually do the job of raising awareness and getting people on board.
Right, so sort of attention-grabbing things. Have I got the right idea there?
Absolutely, yeah. So and then there's lots of different creative ways you can capture the imagination of the masses. And remember, with movements like this, you don't need everybody. We're not going to be appealing to the climate deniers, not even the late majority. It's that 3.5% apparently is what all you need on the streets taking action to get that critical mass. And so it's appealing to the people who might be in that group to come out and get involved.
Right, OK. So it's feisty, you know, it is a rebellion. You don't have to get arrested or anything like that. It's not quite as extreme as that.
Well, there are arrestable actions. So that's one way of getting publicity. And the intention behind that is that if you are prepared to give up your freedom for something that you care about. I mean, we've asked this question a few times, and a lot of people would say yes to that. You know, if you care about something enough, if your kids' education was at stake or your friends' livelihoods, then you would do whatever it took.
Okay, and Paul, I mean, we've talked sort of in generalities. Are you able to get? Have you got an example of the kind of thing that you might do to be arrested?
Well, there's been roadblocks, so that's one way you could create something, and you will create some, you know, disruption. And that would get noticed and people would get involved. And it's unfortunate that individuals get caught up in that. But on balance, the disruption that's to come with climate change is massive compared to the small amount of disruption that a few individuals might be encountering. And in some cases, it's very targeted. So there was a disruption this week. I think there was eight arrests yesterday at a London hotel where people were gluing themselves to the doors of a conference which was all about promoting the oil industry. And so to raise awareness about something like that and to draw that to attention is important. And gluing your hands to a door isn't really upsetting anybody apart from maybe some sensibilities. You're not actually causing any harm,
right? Okay.
Other than maybe to your own fingers.
it does sound quite painful from that point of view. But as you say, actually, this is, you're trying to do things that are going to really get attention. You know, obviously, it's going to be a bit of bother to get you off that door or whatever. It's, yeah, you know, it really is going to sort of stop people in their tracks to sort of think about what it is that you're doing, isn't it? So that sort of stuff. So you've said that Extinction Revolution is kind of different because it wants a sort of like a more fundamental change that will allow us to tackle climate change. A part of that is you've got a policy for the creation of a citizens' assembly. What has this got to do with climate change?
Well, we need political and social will. I put them both together, and you need to make decisions at a political level that are enacted throughout the entire culture. And yes, we need to do this globally, but we can start off in the UK and go first and say and lead by example. One of the demands that we have is to get to neutral zero carbon by 2025, which is not long, but you know, with the political will, it's certainly possible. Just think about all the things that happened in the Second World War when we stopped making cars and we went to making planes overnight. It's possible.
But doesn't that kind of show that actually with the political system as it is, we were capable of making those big changes? Why can't we do that now?
Well, because there's no will. I mean, if there was an actual law saying, you know, you cannot use this amount of carbon and it was enacted and it was actually enforced, then we wouldn't have the problems we've got. But the fact is that we don't have that will right now, and these policies are not there. So we have to, and it's working on that systemic level. Just individual action is great. You know, I've been doing it, and you've probably been doing it for years as well. But not everybody's going to do that. But if you make it systemic, and one classic example of that in the recent years is the 5p charge for the plastic bag. You know, we may have been taking our bags for years because we care about the environment, and I'm sure a lot of other people do as well. But that they also care about their money in their pocket, and a lot more people care about that because it's immediate. And so that systemic change caused, you know, an 80-90% drop in single-use plastic.
And you think that we can't do that with the current political system? You think a citizens' assembly would be more likely to do that? Is that?
Well, a citizens' assembly is where people will, say, 50 to 100 people, maybe more, randomly selected, so they've got no vested interest. This is the challenge, you know, with politicians. They've got, you know, through no fault of their own, they've got a lot of vested interests, lobbied a lot. So if you get some neutral people to be exposed to all of the facts, they can make a really rational decision. And the evidence is that they do that. You know, they can
Paul,
be responsible.
You've just said that most of those people, you know, they didn't even bother about their plastic bags. Why are they going to be making decisions that are better for the climate than the bunch of politicians we have sitting in Westminster at the moment?
Well, the evidence shows that no matter what your political leaning is or your, you know, sensibilities, when you are given the time to consider these things carefully and in a constructive process with exposure to all of the information, you know, non-partial information, then, and you have a chance to deliberate, so you're not just thinking for yourself, you know, you're actually talking and hearing what other people think, then you come to very wise answers and are on behalf of everybody. And of course, this isn't done in isolation. This has happened with the Icelandic constitution, for example. They got a few people together, randomly selected, but then they told the rest of the population exactly what they were doing at any point along the line, so they were included.
Right. Okay. So it sounds like Extinction Rebellion, it's quite a different thing. It's looking to get the message about climate change across in a slightly different way. It wants a whole lot of political stuff changing as well. Is there a local group, if people think, yes, this is just the way we should be doing things, is there a local group that they can come and join in St Albans?
There is a local group, and that's a great thing about Extinction Rebellion is that the groups are happening everywhere, so it's really scaling, even in the few months it's been going. So we're having our first introductory meeting, which is basically a talk and an opportunity to have a discussion on the 12th of March. That's at Trinity URC on Beaconsfield Road. So that's the 7:30 start. There'll be, you know, requests for a few donations to cover the cost of the room because we're all doing this as volunteers.
Yep.
And what we do there as well, also we're practicing what we preach a little bit. And rather than having just a one-to-many conversation, we'll have a many-to-many conversation. So you'll get to talk to your next-door neighbour and have a conversation in small groups, but then also share what you think in the whole group.
So you're not asking people to come along because you've got something planned and you're going to tell them what to do. This is going to be everybody coming along with their ideas and their energy. And
absolutely. Well, it's because it's the first meeting, we are going to do a talk. So there'll be the first half will be us, you know, presenting what the Extinction Rebellion is and explaining the reasons behind it and a little bit of background there, because people will want to know that. But then it's basically about enabling. And we've got another event exactly two weeks later, to those people who want to get involved and then start organising a non-violent direct action. What we really like is, because St Albans have got some really great iconic buildings and, you know, visions, you know, so to put St Albans on the map in terms of this, everybody is interested in doing something about climate change, come up with some really inventive ideas, creative acts of, you know, awareness raising around the town centre and get people involved.
That sounds very exciting, Paul. I'll look forward to hearing all about it, and I'll make sure that I tell listeners, all about the things you have planned. Thank you very much indeed for joining me.
Thank you very much.
There we go. Well, that was me talking to Paul Thistlethwaite. No, definitely not viewers. Getting your things mixed up there, Amanda. Anyway, just a reminder that if you're interested in finding more out about Extinction Rebellion, St Albans, the meeting is on Tuesday, the 12th of March at Trinity URC at 7:30. Now, something you don't see so much now, isn't it? Kids playing out on the street. And what a shame. It really is. Anyway, Nicola Wyatt of Playing Out joined me to explain how she and others are working to claim some streets back, well, for a while at least. Nicola, thank you for joining me. So how does Playing Out work?
So Playing Out is a very simple idea where you close the road with road closed signs through traffic for a short period of time so children can play out on the street. The road isn't closed to resident cars, but it is closed to cars that need to come through that don't actually belong in that street.
I mean, it sounds like a nice idea, only sort of playing together. But why is this better than just going round to your friends or, I don't know, perhaps going down to the park and kicking the ball around?
Well, because it's what they call semi-supervised play. It's something that we all grew up with. I'm sure you did, Amanda. We all went outside our houses and played outside. We had a parent keeping half an eye on us, but we didn't actually play in a structured way in those days. We just played outside. And it's been lost to our new children's generation. It's a real shame, actually, that they either have to go with us to a place to play, or they play in a confined space in a back garden that belongs to a strict set of people and that has access only to visitors. Yeah. Whereas the street outside is free for all. And what you find when you have playing out schemes is you get children of all ages playing together, different ages of siblings or whatever. And that sort of semi-structured but freedom to play.
Yeah,
it is much better than just a structured play session that you would have.
As you said, Nicola, actually, this is just allowing our kids something that we took for granted. You know,
absolutely.
People from previous generations, and that they really have lost. Is this only for roads with lots of kids? Are they the only people who benefit from it?
No, absolutely not. It's a massive community benefit. Some of the most isolated people in our community are older people. And what's lovely about Playing Out is you're never too old to play out. It is for anyone who lives in a street who wants to join in. So once that road is closed, what you find is people come out with their cups of tea and have a catch up in the way of the old days, really, before cars were around. And people come out of their houses and join in their community, which is a really big positive that comes out of it.
That does sound lovely. Now, you've been working at this scheme for a while, and there are, you know, due to your hard work, there are pilot Playing Out schemes going on around the district this year. Where are they?
So we are very fortunate to have a new scheme that's been brought forward in St Albans District by St Albans District Council. And we are lucky to have four streets starting their Playing Out trial this spring. We've got three in Harpenden and one in St Albans. And hopefully we will have more streets joining in that trial as the spring goes on. We're looking for another four or so to do that. And then if that goes well and the district council are comfortable and the pilot works, then hopefully we'll be opening this up to anyone who lives in a suitable street that could be closed. So mainly not bus routes, but any other street, any residential road that would like to close for up to 8 times a year. They can make that safe space for children to play and enjoy the community benefits that playing out can bring.
That sounds wonderful. Well, we hope that the pilots go really well. And, well, I hope to be interviewing it this time next year and being able to open up to so many more streets in the district. Nicola, thank you very much indeed for joining me.
Thank you, Amanda.
And I was talking there to Nicola Wyatt of Playing Out. And what a lovely idea that is, isn't it? Let's hope that that catches on in a big way. Now, there's a couple of Hearts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust events that you might want to book. I've noticed they do get booked up quite quickly, so I'm giving you ones that are a little bit in advance to give you a chance to book. Saturday the 23rd of March, 10 till 12, River Dipping for Families. It's always great fun over at Tewenbury, so do go and book that. Go into the Hearts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust website. And then there's a talk, something a little bit different. How do physics and maths explain biology? Well, to some people that will be fascinating. That's on Tuesday the 26th of March, 8 till 10, and that's over in Welling. An illustrated talk for all, explaining the marvels of our natural world. Sounds great, doesn't it? That's over in Welling Garden City. Again, you'll have to book on the Hearts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust website. Don't forget that Sustainable St Albans have thermal imaging cameras that you can borrow to see where the heat is leaking out of your house and cut your bills. Go to their website, Sustainable St Albans, to see when the next training sessions are coming up, and that those only go on whilst it's still cold, whilst we're still in winter, so you might want to do that quite quickly. Do follow me on Twitter @RV_environment. Give us a like on Facebook too. I'll be back at the same time next week. Until then, thank you for joining me.
Environment Matters, sponsored by Wooka Period Pants, the reusable menstrual underwear that completely replaces disposables. Find out more at wooka.co.uk and join the revolution.